Gridiron Japan.
And we are live. It is Gridiron Japan on a Friday night here in Japan. It is John Gunning and myself, and we are here with Devin Phelps of your, well, formerly used to be the Asahi Silver Stars, now the Oriental Bio Silver Star. How you doing, Dev?
Doing well on this Friday evening. Can't complain. What about you guys?
Well, oh, good. It's a lot better now that we can see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to have you on. How did the team pronounce that name? Did they say Oriental Bio or Bio? How do they say it? Do you know?
I believe Bio. I would hope so.
Yeah, I know. But you know, in Japan, you never know. So it could be either one. But Oriental Bio, Silver Star, second year. You played the first of the spring games with them. It's your second year with the team. As I said, you're with Elcom after stints with the Arizona Cardinals. I think you were 3 months with them. Then you were a little bit with the BC Lions, right? You did some stuff with them. And
my two favorite teams.
Your two favorite, yeah. Greg's two favorite teams. And I'm wearing Silver Star and Cardinals gear in honor of our guest.
Love to see it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to represent when you have the league's best receiver on the show. So we'll tell it like it is. We'll tell it like it is. No, you're not going to argue with that, right? You do think you are the league's best receiver, right?
I think every receiver should think that they're the best. But in my case, it's some good guys that are playing in the league. Actually, well. My favorite receiver is actually Boogie Knight.
Yeah.
But me and him, well, I feel like we're probably gonna be competing a lot this year. I know they had a pretty rough first week as well. Mm-hmm. But I believe it's 1-0 so far. I think I won the stat game for the first week.
Yeah, it's really weird, obviously, in the spring because some teams are playing like their full roster and other teams don't even have, like, you're the only import with Silver Star at the moment. So it's, you know, it's I the spring stats, a lot of people don't really. But I mean, like, last year you and Boogie were in the top three and you were obviously top three your first year as well with Elecom. So you've been. I mean, stats-wise, you've been in the top three both years that you've been here. And Boogie and yourself are very different kinds of receivers, I think. I'd say if you're on the same team, it would be a nightmare for any secondary. But two very effective, but very different kinds of receivers. But you, obviously, like we said, you were with a few different teams. First of all, like this is your first time on the show, so just tell people a little bit about how you ended up with the Cardinals first, because you played in college with the best quarterback on the Bears roster. and we're not talking about Caleb Williams. We're talking about Tyson Bagent.
That's an insider. That's an insider. Not too many people know that, but hopefully they'll find out soon. I mean, with all respect to Caleb, because Caleb is a DMV guy as well. So I wish him much success. I hope they can figure that out over there. But a little bit about me. Attended St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, Maryland, the best high school in the world. Mm-hmm. I believe we're like ranked in the top 10 in the nation for high school ball right now. We actually just had a few guys that were drafted in this past year's draft. Shout out to Blake Corum and Chris Braswell. Those two guys were picked in the third round, I believe. Back to me. From St. Francis, I went to Monmouth University. Had a short stint there. Believe I was there for 2 years, and then I ended up transferring to Bowie State University, where I was only there for, I believe, two semesters. And then I left there and I finished my career at Shepherd University with Tyson. And yeah, Shepherd University, great school, great atmosphere, great great staff, coaches, just everything. Just everything was really just perfect, to be honest.
And for those that don't know, you're talking about Tyson Bagent, who is on the Chicago Bears now. Last year when Justin was hurt, he played in 4 games, 1-2. And obviously, I'm a Bears fanatic. So like most of my ilk, we are massive Bagent fans. Like, obviously, his father is, you know, a multi-time world champion at arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling, yeah. You know what I'll do is I'll try to get Tyson and his dad on the show.
But
I might be able to work some magic, actually.
Well, you said last year at the start of the season, I got to hand it to you. Like, that was the first week of the season we met up, and you said to me that we'd see that Tyson was the best quarterback on that team, or that he would end up starting. And I mean, obviously, Justin Fields got injured, so that was the reason. But I think for Bears fans, like, we were. Like, he'd look good in the preseason, but we were shocked. Like, you know, he's still young and he's got a lot to learn, but I mean, he is good. Like, they just got a diamond in the rough there with that guy. And you and him obviously did really well together, and you're close. But you told me, I think, at that time.
Hey, hold on. Hey, John, hold up. Sorry to cut you off. Hey, Tyson. What's up? How you doing? Hey, man, look, you got a lot of fans out here in Japan, bro. I know it's early over there, but I just wanted to FaceTime you real quick. So some of the guy, well, he's sleeping right now, but I'm trying to set something up for you and Pops to get on an interview with Inside Sports Japan. So when you got some time, let's talk about that. I know you train and getting ready for camp and stuff.
Yeah, we get I finish up June 6th.
June 6th
in Chicago, yeah. And I'll be home June 6th until the middle of July.
Okay. That's a bet, bro. Well, whenever you free, I know it's early over there. Whenever you free, I'll hit you. We'll talk about it, set it up. It'll be online though, like on your phone or computer. So, yeah.
You better tell him he's live on air right now, just so he's not giving away any Bears.
Yeah. Hey, you
know? That's why. No, I ain't put him on. But hey, I'm a let you go, bro. Go ahead, rest up. I'll hit you.
All right, brother. Good seeing you.
All right, champ. Always.
All right. That's so cool.
Y'all heard it there first.
Yeah,
it's locked in, is what you're saying.
Yeah, 100% is locked in, 100%.
Yeah, so now we're getting Tyson Bagent's exclusives without going through the Bears PR people. We're going to be locked out of the NFL. You said to me that time when you told me that he was going to end up starting, you said you owed your career to him, that like you were so. Like you said, just he was an incredible quarterback. Actually, you were right. You were definitely right about that. But the two of you ended up obviously having a really good partnership there and friendship. And you ended up doing so well that you got a call from the Cardinals. So can you tell a little bit about how that went? Or like, how did the Shepherd career go? And then how did you end up with the Cardinals?
Yeah, so when I arrived at Shep, Tyson was like an incoming freshman. He was just coming in, and pretty much me and him were in the same boat. But one thing I noticed about him earlier on, you know, is that he showed up like every single day. He was first one there, last one to leave. And me coming in, you know, in my position, I was coming in. I wasn't on scholarship at the moment, so I had to, you know, earn that. So I was just basically neck to neck with Tyson. He was a freshman, you know, so we kind of learned. We just rubbed things off each other. You know, I taught him stuff. He taught me stuff. And we kind of gelled pretty quick, actually. You know, he was like the younger brother. And, you know, I was going into my senior season, you know, and I just kind of wanted to be that light for him, you know, that outlet, you know, so he like he could know, you know, whenever he was in trouble or whatnot, like I was gonna be there, you know, I'm gonna make sure I get open, you know, to, you know, help the team be successful. So that was pretty much that was how things went. But I mean, when I first saw him actually throw the football, like, you know, I knew he was special, you know, and that just, you know, I just told myself, like, hey, I got to be on my P's and Q's because, you know, he coming to work every day. So I'm going to make sure I'm bringing that same energy. And that's pretty much how it went, you know. And I mean, it was, you know, like his dad and his dad would be there. And it was pretty much it was a lot of energy. I mean, you guys know how his dad is. His dad is crazy, pretty much, you know, so. He was there, you know, pushing us, motivating us and whatnot. And, you know, we did a lot of good things. That last season, yeah, I think Tice threw me 61 balls. And I think I finished with a little over 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns that last season. So it was. Yeah, I mean, like I told John, you know, it was a blessing, you know, to be able to, you know, to have Tyson. And because honestly, I mean, he's the reason why I got the call. I mean, I put the groundwork in on the backside of, you know, the pro day and everything like that. But
your memory is really good. 61 catches, 14 touchdowns, 1,104 yards, and an 18.1 yard per reception average.
Yeah, so it was 17, but three got called back. Three of the touchdowns were called back. But I just always to me it's 17. He threw me 17.
Fair enough.
Three that got called back were for either holding or stuff that I couldn't control. But they're on the hot. Yeah, all of the touchdowns are on the highlight tape. So with that year,
oh, I believe it. I mean, I'm, you know, I've seen him like I watch like the Bears practices and everything. So, I mean, you're right. You're definitely right. He's special. And I don't know. Like, yeah, obviously, they have Caleb Williams now, the number one overall pick. So his chances are going to be limited. But if he doesn't end up like just being the Bears backup for years, I think he could be like Jacoby Brissett or like Garoppolo or someone like behind Brady, that you could get traded for like a second round or something later on in his career to another team.
Yeah, I think that the Bears value him a lot. I believe the OC has a lot of respect for him, and I believe that he'll be the backup. He'll be the number two. I mean, obviously, everybody knows with the NFL, you know, things get very political. Obviously, they just spent millions on millions on Caleb. So Caleb's gonna play, and that's just what it is. But they would be very stupid to let Tyson go anywhere else. I mean,
no,
just
agreed.
Based off what he did for the team, you know, last year, stepping in and winning those games. I mean, honestly, the kid is just a pure winner. Like, he showed you that last year. You know, he came in with limited resources on the offense. I mean, who was just DJ Moore? I mean, that's really he was the whole offense last year. So
I was really impressed by like how fast he gets the ball out. He was just like bang bang, you know. He was like, he was quick making the reads. Like, that was really impressive for like a young player just making in the NFL. I mean, you know, people get like shell-shocked or like lights can stun people, but not at all. He was just so cool and so calm. Like,
yeah, he just tuned everything. You can tell he just tuned it out, just focused in on what was in front of him.
Every interview.
Just very, very poised. He's been like that since freshman year.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like a fact, a proven fact. He's been the same way since his freshman year. You know, like, he never lets anything get to him. You know, he studies, he knows his job, and he just executes. And that's how it's been, honestly.
And that's what you need in a number two quarterback, is at any minute, he could easily, as we saw, easily be the number one. And,
absolutely.
And over the I'm from Chicago, so I've seen, you know, we just had in Chicago Bob Avellini pass away, who was Peyton's quarterback. Yeah. And those Bears of the 70s had those said a lot about the need to always your number two always being ready.
Yeah.
And so those Bears of the 70s, they had Vince Evans, they had Bob Avellini and Mike Phipps. Every one of those guys was ready to play because they knew at any moment they would have to play. Kind of the same thing here. He was always ready to play every time he went out in the field. You didn't sense when you were watching the game that, no, he came in, was ready to play. I mean, different style, obviously, but he came in ready to play, and a lot of Bears fans, I mean, he won the hearts of a lot of Bears fans.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. That's one thing that I'd stick my neck. I would bet every buck in my account. One thing about Tyson, he's going to be ready.
Mm.
If anything, he's going to be ready, you know? And I mean, he won't let the lights and none of that stuff get end of the day is football. I'm not sure if you guys watched his combine highlights at the NFL combine last year, but you know, when he just talked about, you know, just guys throwing and running, I mean, it's football. I mean, the same stuff that these guys at Power Five schools do, he's done it. He's proven. I mean, the kid threw 150 touchdowns plus in his college career. So it's just like, I mean,
you know what my favorite thing about him last year was, you know, a lot of the media were saying he was really good, but like the one thing he didn't have with the arm strength, obviously Justin Fields, stuff like that. He was interviewed after his first start and they said, you know, what's your strongest point? And like completely deadpan, he goes, I got a cannon. It was just
absolutely. And he wasn't lying about that. I got a quick story for you guys. This is how I knew. This was This was fall camp. And me and one of my buddies, one of my best friends was DB for Shepherd. And he was just grilling me. He was grilling me the whole camp, Chris Jones. And I went and told Tyson, I'm like, bro, you know, just come to me. So we did a play action play, and I mean, I like to think I'm pretty fast. So I forget what the play was, but I know I had like a streak. So I'm like, start blocking, and then I just take off running down the field. I look up, I'm like 50 yards down the field. Like we're probably on our maybe 23. And I look up, I'm like 45, 50 yards downfield, and Tyson just launches the ball. Like, and I literally catch the ball on probably like the 35 on the opposite side of the field.
Wow.
That's when I knew. Mm. That's when I knew that he was special and he does have a cannon. That's when I knew it.
So. Yeah, he wasn't like the media actually in the room laughed, but the way I took it was like he knew what they'd been saying about him, but he was serious. You know, I mean, he trusts in himself and he's a lot of self-belief. I really like that. But I mean, having you there obviously was a huge help too. And you got that. What was that time like then with the Cardinals once you finished up with Shepherd? Did you talk to other teams or how did that go? Because it was the year that COVID. Right, it was so weird.
It was crazy. So I ended up because that year my school for some reason we didn't have a pro day that year. I'm not sure why, but right after the season I ended up I was auditioning. Well, not auditioning, but just sending my stuff out and just communicating with different agencies and whatnot. I ended up signing with an agent that had represented Billy Brown and DeJuan Neal, two guys that had played at Shepherd and were in the NFL at the time. And so I signed with the dude Sean, and I go and I do my training. And a few weeks into my training, you know, I start getting calls. And I mean, it was just, I honestly was shocked. Just because I was, you know, I had no idea that my name was even, you know, in rooms. But, you know, I spoke to about 16 or 17 teams. And this was beforehand, so before my pro day. I talked to the Falcons, the Browns, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Vikings, LA, a few other ones too, but pretty much after my pro day, I did my pro day at Marshall. I got accepted into their pro day, and I did my pro day there, me and my running back, and I ended up testing. I tested better than their players at Marshall. Wow. So right after that pro day, my agent calls me and he like, yeah, you know, you crushed it, boom, boom. Like he got my times and everything for the 40. Obviously, I ran really well, jumped really well, and did good on the bench. But right after that pro day, I ended up talking to LA, the Chargers. Initially, I thought I was going to LA, and I thought they were going to draft me in the 6th or 7th round. I spoke with them after the pro day for like an hour. Mm. Tyler Lyon was the scout's name. Tyler Lyon. Okay. Spoke with him for about an hour.
Mm.
And I leave there. I go home. The next day, they call me again, the Chargers. And just asking me all of this stuff, like, hey, you know, what airport are you at? And just personal, you know, questions and whatnot. And I'm just like, okay, well, these guys, I think they like me a lot. So from there, I hear from some other teams that reach back out. And leading up to the draft, while the draft was going on, I think it was the Browns that called me. So it was crazy. I thought I was going to the Browns at one point. It was Rod Streeter. He called me and was just pretty much just congratulating me for making it to the point where I was at and just telling me to, you know, stay strong in the process and whatnot. But long story short, we get to the 6th. I think it was the 7th round actually, and the Chargers had a pick, and I'm driving with my god brother. We're going to pick up food. They had a pick. I'm on my phone just looking at it, waiting, seeing if my phone gonna ring. My phone didn't ring, and I looked at their pick, and they ended up picking a smaller like slot receiver out of Ohio State. Can't remember the guy's name, but I think he was there. He was with the team for maybe a year, and then they waived him. So the draft finished. It concludes, and right after the draft, I just remember being in the car just down. Like, I just didn't even understand how, because I was – in my mind, I just knew that I was going to get picked at least in the 6th or 7th round. I just knew it. But didn't happen. So I'm just like, okay, let's regroup, go back to the drawing board. Me and my god brother were driving back to my home in Baltimore. And as soon as I pull up on the block where my house is, I get a call. And that call is from an Arizona number. And it's weird because in my head, I'm thinking, and I'm telling my god brother, like, I never once talked to the Cardinals. The Cardinals texted me. They texted me, I believe it was a day or two prior to the draft, but I never spoke with anyone like verbally, like on a call, never talked to anybody. So I pick up the call and I forget the owner's name, who it was.
Mike Bidwell?
Yeah, I believe it was, no, it wasn't him actually. It was, I can't remember who it was, to be honest, but I have another story of, and see all of this stuff. It connects. Everything connects. So can't remember who I talked to, but the person I talked to, you know, I pick up the phone. He's like, hey, is this Devin? You know, this is such and such from Arizona. And, you know, we're gonna sign you. We spoke with your agent. He has all, you know, the contract and everything. So my agent sent me the contract. I signed it. We sent it back over, and then he was just like, yeah, you know, we're gonna send you out, you know, the playbook and everything else. So you should have it by tomorrow. And that was that. So I'm just in the car, just going crazy at this point. And it was surreal because I'm just like, I literally did all of this from 1 year of football, basically, from playing with Tyson for one year.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
So it's just like, it's just like, man, like if I would have had an extra year, you know, I mean, Lord knows, you know, what it could have been. But so the next day, I'm getting acclimated and whatnot with the, you know, the iPad and the playbook and everything. So it was just, it was crazy. I'm in a meeting, and Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins and some of the other guys. Like, I'm in a meeting, and we everybody doing introductions, and like my name come up. I was the first person that they called on, actually. So I'm just stuck. Like, I'm just like, I don't even know what to say, honestly, because I was just like, I'm like really right here right now. Just it was weird, but I was just like, I was like, man, like I'm really in this meeting right now. So I'm just trying to play it cool. And then DeAndre Hopkins, out of nowhere, he like, hey, bro, like, you know, you good, boom, boom. Like, you know, we all been there. So that kind of loosened me up a little bit. And, you know, I just kind of talked a little bit. And then we just went from there. And, yeah, man, I got out to Arizona. When was this? Because this was during COVID. So I think I was home. We met for like 2 weeks because COVID, they didn't really know when they were bringing guys out. But I think I went to AZ 2 weeks after that first meeting. And it was, man, it was crazy. I get to the airport and I'm pulling up, and they just got some, like, chauffeurs and all of this stuff, name tags, and I'm not used to none of this stuff. Like, and everybody at the airport just like staring, like, oh, like, they play for the Cardinals. I'm just like, yeah, this is crazy. So I get to the facilities and stuff, and I'm like, man, I see why the NFL was the NFL. It was, man.
Even to get to that stage is like, you know, to get to even like a mini camp invite or to sign a contract at all. I mean, that's rarefied air. Like, even the vast, vast, vast majority of players never.
You're in the 1%. I mean, you look in the 1%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough, you know. And I just looking back, you know, I mean, when I was there, because I came in that same year as Isaiah Simmons, and it was some other guys, but yeah, when I was there, man, it was crazy. And COVID messed a lot of guys up. You know, it wasn't only me, it was about maybe 400 and something other guys, you know, that didn't get opportunities. So, you know, you just had to, you know, put your head down and just figure it out. And that's pretty much what my situation was. You know, I was in AZ, I think, for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm working out, training with some of the vets and the guys that were there and some of the rookies. And you know, I'm same type deal, you know, I'm watching these guys and I'm just like, man, like I'm watching them run routes and I'm like, man, like I'm in my mind, I'm like, I'm doing this better than these guys. And like, these guys went to Power Five schools and, you know, like, but in my head, like and some of the guys, they even coming up to me asking me, hey man, like, what was that you just added in into your route? Like, what was, so I'm just like, man, like, you, like, I mean, I went to Shepherd, you know, like.
But I mean, think you're hitting on something really important there, because, you know, they said they took it was KJ Hill was the Ohio State guy they took.
Absolutely, that was his name, KJ Hill. Yep, that was.
But
his
you
name.
Know that your position there was a little bit like Kinoshita, who was with Obik until last year. Like he was with the Falcons for a couple of off seasons, and it was the same thing. Like he was outperforming guys in training camp, but if you're from a D2 school or D3 school, or if you're from Japan or Canada or something, and the coaches are always going to lean towards the SEC or the Power Five or the D1 player, because their ass is on the line, basically, you know. And if you're a coach, you're risk averse. You always want to like reduce your risk. So even if you see a player performing really well, they've never, you know, you have a player who's played at D1, like, okay, well, at least this guy, he's played against, you know, SEC competition, or he's played against Big 12. So we know his floor is here. Like the other guy looks better, but we don't know. So like they don't want to take the risk. You know, it's like you said, if you'd played with Tyson for another year, or if you transferred up to like an FBS program or something, then they would be like, well, you know, he's done it at this level, so it's safer to, like, those bottom of the roster things, like, they just don't want to take risks, you know?
Absolutely. And they miss out. They miss out on a lot of guys that are, you know, and that's what the outcome is, you know? Because like I said, I mean, honestly, if COVID never happened, I know, like, for a fact, I would still be in Arizona. Like, and that's without a doubt. It was no doubt in my mind. When I walked in the locker room, just my presence, you know, just being there, like, I mean, those other receivers, like, they knew I was there. Yeah. Just based off, like, I mean, I was around this time. I mean, I'm in shape now. Mm. But around this time, it was crazy. Like, I'm talking about, like, 4.37, like, 10.3, 10.4 broad, 38 vert, like, 17 to 20 reps on the bench. Yes, like, it was crazy around this time. So, but, I mean, yeah, that's like, just...
How did that, you bounced back really quick. Like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys... To get cut in that situation, I mean, that's it. You know, like, I mean, the motivation just drains away and they just give it up. But, like, you kept at it. You know, it's kind of hard. Like, obviously, you can tell when you're talking to you that it hurts that you didn't, like, get the chance that you think you deserved. Like, how were you able to just, like, keep going then? How did you end up in Canada and Japan then? Like, where did you get the energy or the power to keep going once that was sort of taken away from you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, growing up, I grew up in Baltimore. You know, I'm an inner city kid, so things were tough. You know, I never had anything easy. You know, like, everything that I've ever gotten in life, you know, I worked for it. I was never given anything. You know, I built everything brick by brick. You know, everything, you know, regarding, you know, once I finished college, you know, agents, you know, I sent out maybe 1,500 emails to agencies. Like, I did all of this stuff on my own, you know. As far as training, you know, I figured that out. But just as far as, you know, that drive and that motivation, you know, you know, my mom, she was a very spiritual woman, and you know, during the time, you know, I was kind of grieving, dealing with that. My mom had passed away. And, you know, I made a promise to my mom that I would play professionally. And, you know, in my mind, you know, I would tell myself all the time, you know, I got to keep that promise. And, you know, I got a little sister and other siblings and friends and whatnot that look up to me, you know, that, you know, they know that football is, you know, it's a marathon for me, you know. I mean, it's been a lot of ups and downs, you know. But you know, like I said, I just it just always goes back to, you know, the beginning. you know, and I just realized that anything worth having isn't ever going to come easy. So, you know, that's just how I look at it. You know, I play the game for, you know, for my family and obviously for, you know, the monetary reasons, what it could do. But, you know, that's basically, you know, that's it. I would say my family is my drive, you know, when it came to it. I mean, because once the situation happened with the NFL, you know, I just, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, like this, you know, it's not over, you know, like I'm gonna figure something out. And, yeah, the CFL, that opportunity came and, you know, I went, tried it out, I didn't really feel like, it was a fit, you know, it was a lot going on. And based off of, you know, it was real weird. BC brought in like 20 guys this year. It was like 20 receivers. And I'm just like, it's not 20 guys, you know, that are going to be better. And I'm a very humble guy, but, you know, so we're all there, we're competing. And, you know, I don't think any of the younger American guys that they brought in knew about, you know, the rules and things that they have with, you know, I believe it's like three Canadians automatically like make the team. And it was a bunch of stuff. And then they already had their receivers that they, you know, that they wanted. It was Burnham, Lucky Whitehead, and some other guys. Yeah, Lucky's cool. Lucky's a good friend of mine too. So it was just I feel like it wasn't, you know, too professional on their end with how they did stuff. And I met with them and they ended up releasing me. The next morning that when I was leaving, I was up in Kamloops in BC. I'm leaving. I get a call from Ottawa Redblacks. They're like, "Hey man, you know, we heard about what happened. They like, we want to bring you in," because I had a buddy that was over there. RJ Harris was over on the Redblacks, and they're like, "Yeah, Devin, man, we want to bring you in." I turned it down. I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'm going home." I'm like, Canada's not, you know, is. And he was like, "Got you, man. You know, I understand. You know, if you change your mind, you know, we love to bring you in." And you know, that was that. So I went home and, you know, I was training at my family's gym. And, it was a tough couple of months. But I was still, you know, I was still working my butt off every day, waking up 7:30, 8 o'clock, speed training, lifting, just still posting all of my stuff on, you know, social media, just trying to get that extra exposure. And then a few months down the line, a dude from Japan reaches out and is like, actually Coach Inoue. Not going to say dude from Japan, Coach Inoue is the reason why I'm in Japan. And every time I see him, I believe he's coaching with Panasonic now. Every time I see him, I always make sure that you know, that I, you know, say a few words to him, just thanking him for recruiting me and getting me to Japan. So yeah,
he's for those who don't know, he's a former Finney's quarterback as well. He played out here, and then he was coaching with Elecom, and now, like you said, he's coaching with Panasonic. Did he tell you how he found you? Obviously they look at this, but you know, like you said, you were a D2 player, so like how did he know about you? Was there some connection?
I don't believe. I just think I believe it, like. He said that they saw like my Instagram page or something like that. And then from there, I believe they might've done research or something and, you know, kind of did it that way. But, he pretty much just kind of facilitated, just set up everything, you know, with the team and whatnot. I mean, obviously they were like really interested, and then they, you know, when I met with the team, they asked me, they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for a quarterback. And you know anybody? And I'm like, this is perfect, because I was home, and you know, me and Pendel was like bread and butter. You know, like it's, you know, it's like right. You know, we throw on every day. Well,
you knew him before you came to Japan, then?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me. I've known David for almost 10 years.
Oh okay. How did you meet him?
Yeah, so David is from Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he went to Oakland Mills, but when I was in high school at St. Francis, my head coach actually tried to recruit David and get him to transfer to St. Francis, but it didn't end up working out. But yeah, we all went away to college, and you know, I mean, you know how it is, like in the off season when everybody's home, everybody, you know, gets together, trains and whatnot. So it was pretty much kind of one of those deals. You know, like me, David, and some other guys, we would always go to the field and throw and just catch up. Everybody would just catch up, you know, with each other, see what's new, you know, what's been going on, how everybody's situation was. And me and David, we lived maybe 20 minutes apart from each other. So like we would literally, like we were throwing and lifting, you know, every day. Like that was the schedule. And you know, from there, you know, once they, you know, I mentioned, yeah, once Elecom, you know, once they told me, like, you know, hey, you know, like we want to get a quarterback as well. You know, I just forwarded them David, and you know, they were like, yeah, you know, like perfect, and everything worked out.
Did you have to do any tryouts, or like was it just like Zoom meetings, or what was the process like, or what I wanted to know is, like, what did you feel when you got called from Japan? Because like, a lot of guys say they think it's like a prank or something, you know, they don't even know.
Japan.
Yeah. No, you know, yeah, Carlton Jones, who was at like Panasonic, he thought it was like some like, you know, fraud thing, or like, you know, scam, that there was like this string of numbers on the phone that he just like, this can't be real, you know?
Yeah. So like, nah, 100%. Like when they called, like I'm looking at the number and I'm like, the number is like +080. Like I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like who? So I pick up and they're like, hey, this is. But he was speaking English, so I'm like, okay. But I'm like, yeah. What? I'm like, who are they? Like, yeah, this coach such and such from Elecom in Japan. And I'm just like, man, this is crazy. So, you know, the whole process was crazy. But even after that, so a lot of people that I think John knows this, but initially, so after this call, like a week later, another team contacted me, and that was Obi. So me and David initially were supposed to play for Obik our first year. And if that would have happened, let's just say the X League would be very different. But even as though that didn't happen, I guess it's pretty much you get what you see. But so Obik actually flew us out to Los Angeles to work out for him. Which we did, me and David. So we flew out, we go work out, we crushed the workout. It's like me, David, another quarterback they were recruiting. They had some DBs out there. So we go do some routes on there, some one-on-ones. You know, we kill it. The next day, we meet with Kevin Johnson, I believe, was Obik's spokesperson. We meet with him and Obik's. Yeah. And Obik's head coach flies out and sits and meets with us as well. So we're just trying to, we're talking contracts and everything like that. And, you know, I mean, I thought everything went well. But after the meeting, the next day, you know, I reached out, didn't hear anything back. And then, David had told me that they, you know, they spoke with, they had contacted him about coming and trying out or whatnot. So I'm not sure what had happened, but, you know, after that, we just, you know, David let me know, and we just thought the best option was, hey, why not go to this team in Kobe and make this team that really isn't good actually good? So that's what we did. You know, we went our first year and we only lost one game pretty much to Fujitsu for reasons that we couldn't control. Right. And I still think, honestly, I still think we should have beat them. I know there's a lot of people that's, I know John is like a huge Fujitsu fan.
So neutral, 100% neutral, man.
But I will say that first season, I mean, we had them, but we let them off the hook. Yeah, then my second year in Japan, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that we had the best team in Japan with our foreign players. We 100% had the best foreign players. Like, we had that on lock. Like, easily. Like, we had that on lock. So, yeah, I'm not sure, you know, what happened. All I know is year two. Yeah, Alecom's just making decisions. They're like, yeah, you know, we're going to keep David. And they kind of just were not too transparent, you know. So I just kind of, we just kind of part ways. And old Johnny boy kind of throws the alley-oop to me with Silver Star. And here we are. And, you know, here we are today. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, things worked out. You know, I was able to, you know, obviously go there and, you know, do some things for those guys. You know, Coach Arima and Daiju, a lot of respect for those guys. You know, I'm working extremely hard right now, actually, to, you know, try to turn this thing around. We had a rough one a few days ago. We had a rough one, but
yeah, but it's practice.
That's what comes with it.
It's practice. It's preseason.
Practice. Yeah.
But, yeah.
We've had you know, the fact that I keep saying the preseason, the spring games don't matter. There's a couple of players that have unfollowed because they they're taking the preseason very seriously, so they don't like hearing that. But
it depends. It depends how you define a win, I guess.
But you, like you said, in with Elecom, with Finese, you had a top six group of foreigners in Japan. I think you said top six, right? And then, it's. But you know, actually, Silver Star, the team that you're with now, they're one of the most historical teams. Like, they've been going since 1970, and like, after all,
yeah, they won
the most titles, the most national titles, even before the X-League was the X-League. So they're kind of like the Bears in a way, you know, like they're one of the founding teams of the league, and they're like, they had great success back in the day. But it's like, anyone who can actually remember that is in their 60s or 70s now, probably. But it's good. I think it's really good. You had a great performance with them last year, and now, like you said, you're in your third year in the league, second year with Silver Star. The spring games, yet Obik obviously had all the players practically there, and they were going full out, so they took Silver Star apart at the weekend. But you guys are still, it's really hard to know with the spring games. Like, I don't read anything into it because, you know, teams like Fujitsu play second
spring
and third.
Games are hard. I mean, the spring it's games pretty, don't translate to what happens in the autumn.
Not at all. So, what Silver Star going to be this year with their new sponsor? It's still strange not to call them Asahi Beer, but you have players coming in. I know you probably can't obviously say that on air. The team will probably kill you in the morning when you go into practice if you actually mention names. So, but I'll be getting texts and messages from certain members of the Silver Star organization. complaining and the league, so we won't go into that. But there are players coming in. But what is the experience of playing? We'll say, for a lot of people maybe who are watching this, or like, we get messages daily, absolutely every single day, guys want to come out here. And you know, one thing I would say to you is, like, even though the NFL dream didn't come true, you look at you have like CJ Stroud, Micah Parsons, you have like Daniel Hunter, you have like the NFL guys are coming out here all the time because they all want to be in Japan. They all want to come out here. For a lot of those guys, this is like a bigger, more fascinating place to be than actually just, you know, playing in the NFL. So, I mean, there's to play professional football in Japan is a much smaller group of players than have played in the NFL. So it's elite in its own way. Obviously, the level of the game is not the same, but the amount of people who can say they've done that, it's not exactly like the amount of people that can say they've walked on the moon, but it's still a very small group of people who, and, you know, in your case, someone who's been through like NFL offseason programs and then played in Japan, that's a handful of people ever. So just for the people who don't know, like, what has your experience been playing here? What surprised you, or what was the same, or what have you developed or learned, like, now heading into your third season here? Like, what have you changed in the way you approach how it's played here?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I think maybe coming in, I think any American would maybe, I wouldn't say belittle, but feel like they have an advantage until they, you know, actually play against a team like Fujitsu or Panna or Obic, and they see, like, you know, actually, like, these guys can play. Like, I remember my first season with Elecom, and this was the game at the Tokyo Dome. I think it was a play where I beat Adi on like a goal down the sideline, and David puts the ball, throws it out there. I catch it, and I look, and I'm like, this Japanese safety is run, got me at an angle. And I'm like, there's no way. I'm thinking in my head, like, it's no way possible this dude is right here.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's when I knew. I'm like, okay. I'm like, they balling, you know, and from there, the switch just went on. But, yeah, I think the game here is very underdeveloped, I would say, in some aspects. I believe it's very underdeveloped.
Oops. He's coming back.
He's coming back. We got you.
We got you, man.
Yeah. I believe it's growing a lot in Japan. And as you guys mentioned, you know, you got those guys that are in the league that are, you know, taking the time to actually come out to Japan and, you know, and mentor and just, you know, see, you know, football here, how it is and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, I think that's huge. You know, that's only going to bring more exposure and other, you know, good things to the game out here in Japan. So I think after my first year, I think my mindset, I mean, obviously my mindset is always, you know, to go out and perform, because the way I look at football is numbers. I'm a numbers guy. So like, I'm looking at stats, you know, like, if I'm playing in Japan, like, obviously, you know, I want to be the best receiver in Japan. And that's pretty much been the way I've looked at it, you know, throughout my process here. The game actually is fast. It's fast out here. It's tough to really compare here in the States. Is two different kinds of speeds, but this is the only league outside of the States other than the NFL where it's like, it's actually like, it's good football. I feel like this league is very professional. You know, like, the teams, you know, they take care of the players. You know, is a mutual respect kind of deal, you know, that both parties have, you know, and I think that's honestly what makes the X League a great league to play in, you know. And like you mentioned, you know, a lot of guys, you know, reach out to you, like, guys hit me up on a daily, you know, and I'm just like, man, like, you know, I wish, like, I'm still so thankful that Coach Anoke reached out to me and I'm in the situation that I'm in, because it's just like, you know, I know what it's like to be on that other side, you know, right. on the outside right. looking in, you know, I know what it's like to be out, you know, to be on that side, because I was one of those guys that was on that side, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's tough, man, because
that's why when people, like I said, I'm the same, man, there's like almost daily, but I don't get frustrated with people, because like this is someone's dream, you know, when they're young, like they put their, you know, you could talk about somebody's put like 15, 20 years of their life into this. So you can't be like, no, man, there's no chance. Like, so I always try and like at least give some help or advice or put somebody in contact with someone, you know. I mean, it's, there are some people obviously to contact you that don't have the ability to play out here, or they don't, you know, they've never played past high school and they think, you know, I'm going to light it up in that league and stuff. And I mean, you get that sometimes, but I mean, one thing I wonder, now that you've had a taste of playing abroad, like, do you feel like you want to, now you obviously know that football is played all around the world now. It's played, you know, Brazil, Mexico, Europe, Australia. I think we're seeing an awful lot more movement of players, not just for, like, say, money or playing at a high level, but just because you can go live in all these places, all these different countries, and at least get your housing and food and get to experience all these different cultures. It's like paid holidays. And if you're playing in, you know, not to denigrate, let's say, Australia's level, but if you're in Australia or if you're in some of these like European countries as an American like yourself coming, it's easy. It's really easy. Like the complexity of the scheme is not there. And so you can just like enjoy yourself. But have you started to think about that and think about like maybe go seeing some other countries as well? Or
I mean, to be completely honest, and you know, that's why, you know, I'm always just filled with gratitude and just I'm blessed, because, you know, I can literally, like, I've been reached out to by so many teams from Mexico, Europe. I mean, like, I feel like I have, you know, a lot of other options. But as I mentioned, I just feel like Japan is the best situation for me, just due to the professionalism and, you know, just the lifestyle and just the way of living, you know, like out here. You know, I like it. I enjoy it. You know, that's why I've been here for 3 years, obviously. As far as Mexico, I almost ended up playing over there this season. But, yeah, some things might be in the works for next season, maybe for LFA, maybe. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, to answer your question, I mean, I just think that's like, I mean, it's dope, like, you know, to be able to go and, you know, play in, you know, different countries and experience different cultures. And, you know, we got, I actually have, Isaiah, my teammate from Elecom, the corner, he's actually playing in Brazil now. So, just being able to follow, you know, him and some other guys that I know that are in Mexico, and I mean, I just kind of keep an eye on everybody, you know, and I just kind of try to connect the dots, you know, where I can. I was actually able to get some of my friends that I played with in college some contracts in the LFA. So that was something that I was really happy about. And I mean, yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just good. You know, I like to see everybody doing well. Yeah. So, I mean, I just try to, you know, if I'm in a position where I can help, or, you know, be able to, you know, help a team or help a friend, you know, then that's just how I am. You know, I'm just always gonna try to connect the dots.
It's a really good attitude to have, you know. I mean, it makes, obviously, a lot of these things, you do them without expectation of stuff coming back, but, you know, you get a reputation as being someone who helps, and like a lot of stuff comes around that, you know, you wouldn't expect. One thing I kind of wanted to ask is, like, with the LFA, obviously, they have, like, 15, 16 Americans on a team, you know. A lot of the European countries, it's the same, they're a bunch. So, Japan is a great place to live. Obviously, I've lived here for 20 years, more now, 22 years, but it's not easy. And it's not easy the first few years, especially like when you don't have the language and it can be lonely. Like you talk about Fujitsu, they have like a bunch of American coaches. They have like a past players on the staff and same like Panasonic. Right. You were with Elecom, it was like yourself, you knew David, but like even with Silverstar right now, you're the only one. I mean, how do you manage that? Do you have
a network?
Do you manage to build like a social group in Tokyo or people like that you can hang out with, like when things get stressful or? That's something I think can be difficult for players the first few years, especially.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like. I'm the type of person like I don't get homesick or like I don't feel like lonely or anything like that. I just kind of focus on the controllables, and I learned this from my coach in college. You know, just control what you can control, and just be where your feet are. And that's something that I've lived by, you know, ever since my freshman year of college. You know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, especially this year, because a lot of my friends that played in the league last year, a lot of them didn't come back. So that's one thing where I was just like, man, it sucks. Because, like, you know, now it's like, all right, I'm out here. You know, obviously David's still out here and it's some other guys from the other teams. But, you know, it just sucks, you know, when you play with, you know, some guys 1 year, you know, you build relationships and then like the next year they're like gone and you're like, man, like that's crazy. But I mean, we all have like tight communication, you know, we keep in contact through like, you know, either text or social media, Instagram and all that stuff. So we all always, you know, checking up and, you know, just watching, seeing what everybody got going on. So that's pretty much it.
Just as we are doing this, it just came up on social media that Colby Campbell, who's with Rise last year, he just signed with Lowlanders Białystok. It's like Poland, I think.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, actually, so, you know, and it's funny you should mention that, because on our social media, our friend Dave asked how does the X League feel about players playing in different leagues during the off season?
Because this is a question, because you have like Aaron Ellis, who's quarterback for Dentsu. He's in Mexico. Yeah. James Brooks used to do that with IBM. It's a thing because the different times of the season. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you just talked about that?
Yeah. I feel like it honestly really just depends on your contract and the team, I would say, because, I mean, obviously, you know, with Silverstar and, you know, I spoke with my GM, you know, last year about it. You know, I pretty much told him, you know, what was going on with like other opportunities and stuff. He was fine with it. You know, like it's, you know, I mean, I just, and that's why, you know, like I have the respect that I have for him, you know, because it's like, he's very understanding, you know, he understands that, you know, football is a business obviously. And, you know, football is just like any other job, you know, like, you know, so, and the season's up here, you know, like if you get an opportunity to go and play somewhere else, I mean, why not? So, I mean, to answer that question, I mean, it really just depends on the team and like, you know, contract and like, you know, what your situation is with that team. That's really what it, you know, what it depends on, or at least that's what my situation was. I can't really speak for like any of the other guys that were like IBM or Fujitsu or any, but I know, depending on the team, it could maybe be tough. Because I know that, I know David's situation with Elecom, that was something that came up, and I could speak about that. That was something that actually came up with his contract, and you know, they advised him that they didn't want him to play in other leagues because it was a chance that he could get hurt. But right. I mean, he had also signed a 3-year contract with them, which everybody knows. So, I mean, that was something that came up, you know, where they advised him. They're like, yeah, you know, we don't want you to play anywhere else. We want you to come back to Japan in the spring. And that's what it was. So, you know, my situation, being as though, I actually signed a 2-year contract with Silver Star. So I'll be here this year and next year.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Yeah. So that's something that, well, it's crazy, that question. That's something that I'll have to figure out when the time comes.
Right.
You know, but I'm sure even still, I'm sure it probably won't be a problem.
So those contracts then, like, obviously every team is, like you said, is different in every situation. Every player is nearly different, but a lot of players, they have 8-month contracts. So like from it ends with the Rice Bowl and then picks up in like March or April or whatever. So like you're saying you're signing a 2-year contract. Is that like a 2-year full or is it like 2 blocks of 8 months or?
So that
or did I you sign a Japanese language contract?
No. it's some Japanese and some English, but I believe it's an 8-month block, but I'm probably going to it's still a lot of it's a lot of stuff that needs to be like revised, well not revised, but like still some stuff that needs to be kind of negotiated. So I'm still sorting that out.
Their teams here, because they normally just write stuff in Japanese and it's kind of new to a lot of them. They get they're so vague in the language. Like there was an issue a few years ago where a player had in his contract about pancake blocks. He was an offensive lineman. Like if there was a certain number of pancake blocks, like there was a bonus for that, and he reached the mark. But like there was a disagreement. Like the team thought it was if the team reached the mark, and he thought it was him. So like the contract could be read either way. It didn't like specify whether it was like individual or team. So like there was. Sometimes you can get arguments about that, about what exactly you're supposed to be doing. But you're obviously enjoying it. Like you said, you signed a 2-year deal and you're liking life out here. But how about the spring? Like the next game is Lions, right? I think the 26th.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So
what do you think about the, even in the regular season, there's a gap of 2 weeks between games, right? So it's like it's not like football anywhere else. Everywhere else is like every weekend you're playing a game, right? So it's kind of unusual here that in the spring it's like it could be 2 or 3 weeks between games, and in the regular season it's 2 weeks. Like, how do you manage? Is that good or bad? Like, does it give you a chance to fully recover, or does it like is it kind of hard to keep focus when it's like so few games?
Nah, I mean, to be honest, I love it because. That's actually one of the things that I really like about the X League. You know, you get that extra week off, and it's like it does wonders for the body. You know, you get to recover fully. You know, like, and you know me, I kind of use that time to, you know, I go onsen a lot, treatment, you know, just you literally you just get to fully regroup. And like that's something that's huge, you know, for me. Because it hurts when you gotta just constantly, you know, back and forth, just, you know, banging, and then you got a game on Friday, and then you gotta turn around and play on Thursday, and
BJ has said the same thing about playing in Japan, about how. Playing in Japan, I mean, he still has the body of a younger guy because of that time off, that ability to recuperate. I would assume you would second that in terms of your time in Japan, playing in Japan. It allows you to be healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean. Cause I mean, even playing out here, like my first year, I had like, you know, a small injury. I believe it was like an AC joint, And I think I did it. I did it the game before we played Fujitsu, week three. And, you know, like, I'm, if we had to play Fujitsu that next week, I don't know how I would have done it, but I had just enough time in that window with that second week to get as close to 100%, you know, as I could, you know. And with that being said, you know, I was able to, you know, kind of do what I needed to do, and, you know, I played, and, you know, just from there, just, you know, the injury kind of progressed as the weeks went on. But yeah, that's,
and the trainers that, were, and how, sorry, with the trainer, ahead. With the trainers, did the trainers work with you to get you to that point where you're 100%?
Yeah, absolutely. The trainers in Japan are A1, like top of the line. I mean, everybody here in Japan, they take their jobs like so serious. I mean, in the U.S. is very like nonchalant. Like if you're in a training room or something, like a lot of the trainers, like most of them don't want to be there. A lot of them don't really want to do anything unless you're like the man on the team. You know, that's really how it works. But like out here, like, nah, like they're, everybody's hands on. I mean, even from the head trainer down to like the new person that just started that same day, you know, like everybody's, you know, very hands on. So like, that's something that I also appreciate and, you know, and enjoy. Big, you know, shouts to Kawhi-san and all the staff over there at Silver Star. Cause they took care of me last year as well, and they still taking care of me this year. So, yep.
What are you hoping to achieve this year? Was that like obviously team success you want, but like on a personal level, are you the kind of, you said stats are important to you? Have you targets in mind like for the year that you want to reach?
See, like, hold on. Let me see how I flip this camera. Cause I ain't even gonna say it to you. I'ma just show you.
Show it to me.
Oh wow.
Can you read it to the people?
Oh, you got 10 touchdowns, you have 1,000 yards receiving. Hold on there.
500 catches? No.
500 catches.
50
catches.
50 plus.
Yeah. If it's 1,000 yards or 500 catches, that wouldn't be good. How many games are you going to have this season? Do you know?
I believe they added 2 games.
So, I mean, you don't need to say it, but have the players gotten the schedule yet or know how many games there are?
I'm not sure. I think they told us that it was 7 games now. I'm not sure who we play.
Yeah.
But I believe it's 7 games now and it's an extra playoff game.
Okay. Yeah, they haven't that hasn't been made public yet, so it remains. Obviously they have split things up into the 3. So you're now in a 4-team division. So I guess you could play, I don't know if you play each team twice, but you have Fujitsu, Rise and Minerva. You obviously, the way you've talked about Fujitsu already tonight, so it's obviously you have a lot of respect for them, and you've been telling me privately how you think they're the best team in the world. I just want to confirm that live on air.
Silver Star is the best team in Japan. Y'all gonna see.
Nice.
Y'all gonna see. Hey, Silver Star, we cooking up some stuff over here. That's all I'm gonna say. I ain't gonna say too much.
I'm wearing the Silver Star. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Silver Star. I love Silver Star. I love all the teams out here, but yeah. Silver Star, definitely. I don't like the fact that the helmet has changed after 50 years.
John, I was just going to say that. This is the one thing that you've had an issue with.
I will say the new uniforms, I do like them. They look really good. The actual uniform itself looks probably better than last year's one, but the team had the same helmet for the entire 50 years of its organization. It's like really rare in football. I would have liked if they kept the helmet the same, but I do actually, I do like the new look. The all white is very clean, very fresh. Yeah. Is there a, what is the other one then? Is it all blue or something? Or
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I'm guessing that it might be all blue.
Yeah.
It
looks good. It looks good. It looks good. I will admit it looked better than I thought it would. But I just
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That all
is there anything behind your number? The reason that you wear, was it 15 isn't you're wearing, right?
Yeah. So so I wore one pretty much my entire career, but I wore 15 when I was in Pee-wee. I mean, either one or 15, but 15 is a very special number to me because my birthday is October 15th. Okay. My brother's birthday is December 15th, and
nice.
I have a cousin who actually passed away. His birthday is May 15th, so that's actually why I wear number 15.
Have any of your family come out to see you play out here?
At the moment, no, they haven't had the chance to come out yet. And that's just due to the fact that the flight, like, you know, it's tough for my family to fly that, for them to fly that long, you know, so that's like, that's really what the main issue is.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I mean, it's tough, you know, I can't really blame them, you know what I mean? But they watch the games, you know, but when it comes, just actually, you know, coming, it's been tough. Just because of the distance, you know.
Yeah, did enjoy
it. Long flight.
What is okay? So, like, let's see if there's anyone that we don't know about on Silver Star that you think people should watch out for. Any of the young Japanese kids or any player that, obviously, the other guys have not come in yet this year, but Silver Star doesn't get the same kind of exposure that Obake or Panasonic or Fujitsu does. Just tell some people about who should they
absolutely. I think to be honest, like you said, we're very slept on. I believe that we have some of the best Japanese receivers. Obviously, I'm sure you know Yuta, 83. Yuta, obviously he set out for the spring, but Yuta's a very good receiver, has a lot of experience, very good with the other guys. Iko Uchida, number 19, he's been with me for my whole career in Japan. He started with me in Elecom, and he's now at Silver Star. I've seen a lot of growth out of him as well. He's going to be special. I'm sure he'll have a good year. Tomoki Chaman, 27, who actually lives like down the street from me, not too far. I think he'll have a big year as well. Very explosive player. Yuya, number 81. Yuya is he has so much potential. He's big, strong, you know, just got to keep grinding. I think he's going to have a good year as well. We got a lot of receivers. Triple H, Hikaru, number 85. Very special player. Great route runner. He might be the best route runner on the team.
Including you?
I'm not going to include myself, but as our whole group within the Japanese receivers, he might be the best route runner. But, you know, I just think sometimes he thinks a lot, but he's a great football player as well. Yosuke is the smallest. He's the smallest out of the pack, but very tough, has a lot of heart. You know, will go up and make the tough catches. Kenta-san is the vet, but Kenta gonna make he gonna make some tough catches. We got a new tight end who's actually really good. I believe he played with the Pirates last year.
Not a Katsu.
With Penta. With Penta?
Yeah, he played with Penta. Yeah,
he's on 44. That's a Katsu.
Yeah, 44. I can't remember his name. I think it's Hiyoshi or...
Yeah,
Akatsu.
Akatsu is like... He's an ex-league legend, man. He used to be bigger than me. He was like, he was literally double the weight that he was now. And he was a punter. And he was a tight end. And he was like, myself and BJ used to talk about this. Like, this guy was like one of the best tight ends in the league. But he looked like an offensive lineman that had actually let himself go. He was huge. Yeah. He was like 150 kilograms or something. But he just like could catch everything. Then he would take all the punts. And he just lost half his body weight. He's been Pirates' best player for years. If he's going to Silver Star, that's a great pickup.
Yeah, great. Yeah, he played in a game with Obik. He had a very, very nice catch across the middle on the seam. But so we have him. Glad that he's he's there. I believe I named all of the receivers. I believe, but
Shout out
to those guys. Yeah.
44. You picked him up. You're right. Oh wow, that is a huge pickup.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's been one of the best players
in
years. Yeah, he definitely shows some grit. He shows a lot of grit out there.
Retired completely, but he's got a Silver Star.
The whole core, the receivers, the tight ends. Obviously we lost Hiroshi, our running back number six. He retired, which kind of shocked me a little bit, but we got some guys, they working, and I think we'll do pretty well this season. I believe so. Once those guys get here and we just get the chemistry down, I think we'll be okay.
Is Akatsu playing? He's played punt. He's been like special teams player of the week as well for being punting and kicking. Like, or is he just playing tight end?
He does a little bit of everything. I've seen him kick field goals, do punts, tight end, fullback.
He does it all.
He got his hands full now. He looked like he can handle it. So
do you Devin Gardner?
I don't know him personally, but I know who he is. I know he was the quarterback at Michigan.
Yeah,
at one point in time.
Yeah, he was Michigan's quarterback, and he was with the Patriots and the Steelers for a while, and then he was like with Rice for a few years, and now he's like he's won like three Emmy awards. Now he's like on, I think it's is it Fox? He's on like doing the college football. He's like one of the main faces.
Yeah.
I think it's three Emmys he's won. Like, but he said to me about 4 years ago that Akatsu was his favorite player in the entire X League. Yeah, I asked him to name like what players you think. He's like, Akatsu was his favorite player in the entire league. So that is a huge pickup for you guys.
That's definitely huge. I mean, I saw it firsthand. I mean, when he made that catch, I was like, okay, we got something here.
And he's been playing for. How long has he been playing? He's not young, man. He's been playing since like 2015, 16 or earlier.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of him all the way back, but that's fun. So he was in college in 2012. So I guess he's been in the X League for about 12 seasons, maybe. It's kind of crazy. 11, 12 seasons, but Yeah, thanks a million, man. Sorry for keeping you so long. I didn't think we were going to keep talking, but like your story.
No problem. Anytime. We gotta run it back. I'm gonna be in contact with y'all too, because I told y'all I'm gonna get Tyson and his dad on here. They like family as well, so I get them on here for y'all and
Sometimes the number of subscribers like within the first 10 minutes of the show, like with it goes through the roof.
Yeah. Hey, Deb, before we let you go, how does everybody find you? I know you're on YouTube, but how does everybody find you? You got a YouTube page, but what else you got going? So people can at least see the highlights of of you here in Japan.
Chat. So I'm posting in the chat right now. Can the people on the screen see the chat?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, there, I got it. Wait. In the chat. Oh, wait. Hang on a second.
I think the chat is only the people who are in the call. Maybe I can't see it anyway.
No, nothing on the private chat yet.
No.
In the comment. How about in the comment section?
I think that's where I am.
Oh, okay. Which one are you on?
Did you guys get it? Chat with everyone. In the
I got it. Maybe. I got it. Yep. Yeah. I got it. Here we go.
I got it. Okay.
Facebook or YouTube?
No, it's.
I'll figure it out later. But so anybody that's trying to find film or anything, I post everything on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok. Instagram and TikTok the most lately, but my username is DEVXCVI on all
platforms. There we go.
Yep, there it is right there. Yep, that's me, and you can just type that in on any platform, and it should come up.
96? DEV96, is that what it is?
Yeah. Nice.
Roman numerals.
I would have never thought that actually after 50 I'm useless when it comes to Roman numerals.
You got 100, which is I'll teach it to you, Greg. 100 is C. If you have a smaller number in front of a bigger one, it's taken away. So 10, which is X, 10 from 100 is 90, and then 5 and 1, 6.
And then I got to carry the 1 or something like that.
So I'm just wondering, like, do you have ambitions still? Like, if a UFL team was, say, Kim Collin, would you be interested in stuff like that, or are you enjoying just your life now? You're still open to those opportunities, or?
I mean, at this point, I don't know. I think we might have talked about it, but I know I talked to my GM because I was actually recently in contact with an agent and.
Yeah, cliffhanger. Is he gone on the cliffhanger?
Is he there?
No, I think he's gone. He's left us on a cliffhanger.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Sorry.
That's okay. Set us up for part two there.
Sorry.
You know?
sorry about that. But So this agent, he actually just recently sent my clips and stuff out to a few teams that he had some favors with, and I believe it. He told me that the Seahawks were interested, and it's a chance I could potentially go to camp or whatnot with Seattle. But I just explained to him that, like, at this point, you know, it has to make sense because, you know, I told him. And my exact words were, you know, like, I love Japan, you know, and I wouldn't want to jeopardize my situation here to go to Seattle and, you know, just be there for like a few months or so. And then they're just like, nah, you know, we're going to waive you or something comes up. Because with the NFL, you never know.
Yep.
So I just told him, you know, I let him know that, you know, it has to make sense, you know. And then as far as the UFL and whatnot, I mean, I have a lot of buddies that are playing in that league, and I actually tried to get in that league. Stuff is just so political, you know, and when it comes to football back home, you know, so but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just gonna, you know, just keep training and working hard.
You mentioned Ade earlier, and of course, you know Ade's story as well. He was on NFL Network earlier, you know, so he had, like, he was in that same situation. You know, the Lions called him back, and he decided to turn it down. And, you know, I mean, it all obviously worked out for him. He's built an incredible life here. So the guys, you know, I mean, you seem happy and you seem settled. And like you said, it's your third season. So it's the players who can get through the first 3 years, maybe, are the toughest always in Japan. 3 to 5 years. And then it's just like, if you end up staying, like, it just, people build connections, put down roots, you know.
Japan becomes home.
Yeah. Same as everything. Like, there are huge opportunities, you know. And like I always say, like, you know, you look at Gino Gordon, who is like Gino's hanging out with, you know, Super Bowl winners and World Cup rugby winners and movers. Like, obviously Gino is, you know, operating on a different stratosphere to the rest of us, but like a lot of guys build like really deep careers in lots of different areas here. I think Japan is the land of opportunity still. There's many, it's not just football. I mean, there's a lot of things people can do. We're all, you know, positioned like to do that. So yeah. Chances are there for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, Dev, on that note, John, let's wrap it up here. And the three of us will talk on the flip side after we wrap here. But for everybody who is watching live, and there are a lot of people watching live tonight, which is very, for John and I, this whole podcast is a true labor of love. And now that we're on YouTube, it's even better now, because people can see our smile, you know, our shining, smiling faces and Dev coming again. We're going to plan on seeing you here again soon, hopefully this season.
Absolutely.
So obviously you're in the same group as Fujitsu. So how many touchdowns are you going to catch against them when you play them? Just put it out there right now.
Yeah, put it out. Yeah.
Four touchdowns. guarantee a number right now, man.
This is all I'll say. Without Adi, it's going to be tough for them to hold me. That's all I will say.
So five.
I won't.
You heard that.
I won't put a number out there. I won't put a number out there because I'm a. It's,
maybe
it's
six.
It's all God's work. So we ain't gonna put a number out there. But what I will say is, and I'm sure, I mean, I know what they run. You know, I know their defense. I know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Bronson can't cover you, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Bronson Beattie, BJ's brother, can't cover you. That's basically what you're saying.
Why are y'all trying to start trouble, man?
I can see.
So on that note, so like, Devin Phelps, Bronson Beattie can't cover me. You heard it here first.
Yeah. And BJ will make, you know,
Bronson one is a safety. You know, I'm not saying he can or can't cover, but most safeties are safeties because they tackle.
Woo!
So I will say that. You know, I will say that, but Fujitsu has some great players. They have great players.
Yeah,
which is why they are in the situation that they're in year out. But what I will say is, and I'm sure they know it themselves. Without Adeyemi at that boundary corner. Some stuff might be tough this season. That's what I will say, because he controlled a lot of that traffic. You know, and they know it. I mean, I'm only speaking the truth. You know, I'm speaking the truth, nothing more. You know,
he was the Deion Sanders of the X League. There's like, you know, he's on a different level. I mean, you're not saying anything that no one wouldn't agree. Everyone would agree with what you're saying there. He was on a different level for sure. But
yeah,
you know, I just want to stir it up. I just want to stir it up a little bit. You know, get it going.
And on that, well, I guess on, and on that note, the three of us will end it tonight. And for everybody who has tuned in, and for anybody who's listening on the podcast, if you're listening on the podcast, you can find the podcast at gridironjapan.jp or gridironjapan.net. And we're also to watch this live. It's at gridironjapantv.net and also gridironjapanradio.net to get to go to our Spotify page. On behalf of John, Dev, and myself, thank you very much tonight for listening and watching and tuning in. And if you're, make sure for everybody who's watching and tuning in, you write down that number 4 or 5, however you heard it. That way later in the season, in the comment section, when we talk about, you know, we'll have Dev back to see how he did with that number.
Devin, you never call yourself Dev, do you? Does anyone call you Dev?
Yeah, my friends, you know, and some fam, they call me Dev. I mean, it works, okay. You know.
Yeah, they call you open.
Yeah, hey, I'm Devin always 11. Open. I'm always Devin. Open, even when I'm not open, I'm open.
There you go.
You're like the Combini. You're the Combini. Yeah. You're always open.
I'm like all right. There you go.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody, thanks very much for watching and tuning in and listening, and we will be talking again very, very soon.
This is our league, and this is your league. Oops. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan.
Wrong podcast, Greg. Wrong podcast.
I grabbed the wrong one.